Yaddle.
I'm gonna be round my vegetables. I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Hello and welcome. This is Passionate Nutrition Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Adler. I've been a nutritionist for more than a decade and am the founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 6 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. Since beginning my practice, I've helped clients lower their cholesterol, combat depression, treat cancer, reverse diabetes, lose weight, and completely transform their lives with nutrition. Food is medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition, we'll answer your nutrition questions and talk about what foods promote wellness and vitality. This is a call-in show, so please feel free to reach out to us at any time throughout the show. We welcome any and all questions and stories you'd like to share. We'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. Thank you so much for joining us today. So this month, we have dedicated our shows to healthy new habits for the new year. And weight loss is a common resolution for many people. And around this time of year, we like to remind our clients that instead of making a resolution to lose weight, make a resolution to increase your metabolism. And metabolism is the rate that our body burns calories to sustain life. It's what gives us energy. Our body burns calories 24 hours a day, and we need energy all the time to function, even when we're sleeping. And everyone's metabolism burns calories at a different rate. And how we eat and what we eat can have a significant role in how effectively our metabolism is functioning. You know, for example, if we're feeling stressed out, like we're eating while we're in traffic, this is can be really confusing for the body. Because the thing is, if we think about how we've evolved as a species, I mean, our body is all about survival. And when we perceive stress, you know, our body doesn't know, you know, are we being chased by a lion? You know, if we think about through history. So in the past, this is what has kept us alive, the stress response. You know, if we were being chased by a lion, our energy would go to our arms, our legs, our brain, because we'd have to think fast and move fast to get out of whatever situation was causing us stress. So when we're stressed out at work and we're eating, or when we're stressed out in our car and eating, you know, that can have a huge impact on how we digest and how we actually metabolize our food. Because when we are stressed, energy doesn't go to our digestive system. You know, it doesn't go to our metabolism. It's all about survival. So on today's show, we're focusing on all of the easy and delicious ways that each of us can boost our metabolism on a daily basis. And Mackenzie Zajon is one of our amazing nutritionists at Passionate Nutrition, and she's the recent recipient of Top Health Coach at Microsoft, and she's joining us today. Mackenzie, thank you so much for joining us and for congratulations on the Microsoft Award.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's great to be here.
Good. So, Mackenzie, I invited you on the show today because I know you have incredible success with the clients that you work with. I mean, you're really gifted at helping individuals reach their goals. I mean, that's apparent every day. And so can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background?
Thanks, Jennifer, for those compliments. And my background is a master's degree in clinical nutrition at Bastyr, as well as a master's degree in health psychology at Bastyr. And I've been with Passionate Nutrition for a little while now. It's been wonderful. Working with clients in Ballard, downtown Seattle, Shoreline, and Bainbridge Island. I've also had quite a background with Division I soccer, and that's really brought me to the field of nutrition and how I use this body for strength and nutrition. I also love the environment and local sustainable food agriculture, and that's also really brought me to this field of nutrition.
And being an athlete, I mean, it seems like you really do get that very firsthand knowledge of how food affects how you feel.
Definitely.
Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. It's I believe athletes and especially and a lot of non-athletes as well have this unique connection to their body. Mm-hmm. And they can really see how food directly impacts their body or mm-hmm. doesn't.
So is it being an athlete and then also the environmental sustainability components? Is that what led you to becoming a nutritionist?
Definitely. I remember some of my earliest memories really in this lifetime involve the soil and food and nutrition. So it's really, it's a calling for me. Mm-hmm. And it's just always been part of my memories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And I love that you bring in soil too.
Mm.
I remember that one of the best conferences I ever went to, they had numerous soil specialists that came. So it was really that connection. You know, there were soil specialists, there were farmers, there were nutritionists, there were doctors. You know, it closed this circle that I feel like we often, there's this disconnect that happens that we don't think of the soil as being such a part of what we do, and it is.
Wow, that's really beautiful. That's a really holistic approach that, mm-hmm. that you experienced there. And the energy that the earth provides is so nourishing. And it, of course, comes through our food.
Right.
As well as many other things, such as the sun, which we don't really see today.
Not so much today. It's true. Okay, so what is the most rewarding part about being a nutritionist for you?
I love this question. The most rewarding part of being a nutritionist, well, first and foremost, just working with people. Just love people. I get a lot of energy from people. I'm an extrovert, so I could chat all day long. So definitely working with the people. You know, I would say also being involved in this process of helping folks learn more about what I like to call the inner nutritionist, what guides them, and what works for them. And that's different for all of us. We both know the nutrition field right now is crazy.
Yes.
It's crazy making. It's a headache. And so clarifying, making things simple for folks is absolutely one of my favorite processes to go through.
You know, Mackenzie, mm-hmm. I agree with you so much. And I love that part of what we do because I know we see so many clients that come in like those. I mean, we attract a very educated, progressive client base, you know, and they'll come in and they've read this book and that book and they've tried this diet and that diet and they've seen all these different practitioners that give them different recommendations with food. And they're so educated that they have no idea what to eat and they just eat cereal because they're so confused.
Yeah, they're paralyzed by the options. You can feel them holding all of this information. And so sorting through and weeding through that information and really listening to the client about what's important to them is what I call the inner nutritionist mm-hmm. and following that.
I love that. It sounds mm-hmm. like it's really helping them to find out what's going to be best for their body, not what they read in a book or what their coworker tells them they should be doing.
Correct. We have all these recommendations out there, yet it's through the process of the one-on-one that really brings forth the true learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I love that part of our work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Mackenzie, what are some of the first things that you do to help your clients boost their metabolism?
Wow. Well, you know, it's definitely going to depend on the person. But I say the first go-to is eating breakfast.
Mom was right.
Yeah, Mom was right. And this is hard. This mm-hmm. is hard for a lot of people. I mean, we lead really busy lives. Breakfast mm-hmm. might be 5 minutes. We can still work with that. You know, just getting something in to get that metabolism going. You know, the metabolism, I like to think of it as a machine. Our body is a little bit of a machine and it's working and it needs fuel to keep going. So letting it know that it can keep going by providing the fuel. So starting this out at breakfast is the most important.
That's such a good point. And it's one of those that gets so often overlooked. And, you know, one of the things that it seems like we often forget is that we've been fasting all night long. You know, our body has been in that state where no food has been coming in. So when we wake up, our body is naturally programmed to expect food to come in. And then when it doesn't, it gets nervous. You know, and that's when our metabolism starts to decrease.
Yeah, it thinks something's wrong with the food supply. And
right.
You mentioned survival. We're in constant survival mode. So it shuts down. It thinks something's wrong with the food supply. And so our metabolism literally shuts down, and so do we. Eventually, you know, we get really tired. And one thing I've noticed, too, about breakfast, it can be really hard for people because it's time, but also a lot of people say they're not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually, you know, it's going to depend for everybody, but a lot of times there's a cycle that's occurring where we don't eat breakfast, and then later throughout the day, we're ravenous.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get cravings, we overeat at night, and then because we overeat at night, we wake up not hungry. And so it's this cycle that is really important to look at and help folks weed through.
It's so true. We see that cycle over and over again because people feel so badly from the day before that they wake up and they say, okay, today I'm really going to be good. I'm going to do things differently. And part of that is cutting down, and breakfast inevitably gets skipped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mackenzie, one of the things that people often bring up when they have breakfast is that they feel more hungry. You know?
Yes.
So what do you tell people when that comes up?
Yes. And this can be very scary for people.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
They're
they're usually trying to lose weight. They're trying to boost their metabolism. They're like, wait a minute, this is not working.
Yes.
Actually, it's the exact opposite. It's working. When we're hungry, our metabolism is firing up. The hunger is the sign that our metabolism is speeding up. So why this can also be really scary, it's a really good sign. And so that's what we want to look for. A lot of folks will start eating breakfast and they'll get hungry maybe 2-4 hours later. And that's what I like to explain to clients is a fork in the road. The metabolism can take a left and not eat, which slows down the metabolism. Or we can take a right and we can eat and we can keep that metabolism going and tell the metabolism it's okay. You can burn. You can keep going. There's nothing wrong with the food supply. We don't need to enter survival mode and shut down all systems.
It's so true. I mean, one of the things I think we see a lot with clients that come in is that actually when they're struggling with weight, oftentimes they'll say, you know, I just really don't get hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's such a bad sign. When we're not getting hungry, this is a sign that our metabolism has really slowed down.
It's very, very slow. And that's part of the process where I think a lot of clients need help. Just encouraging them that it's okay to maybe eat at first when you're not hungry. We're going to get this metabolism going again.
Yeah, it seems like there's such a trust that's involved, especially initially.
There is.
Yeah, because there's this feeling of, oh no, I'm going to have breakfast and I'm going to eat all throughout the day. And it just means I'm eating more all around.
And it's the exact opposite of what we hear from all our messages in the magazines, the TV, which all say restrict, restrict, restrict. But the science, the PhDs that are studying the subject are more on this page that we're discussing today.
It's so true. And it's time for us to take a quick break. But stay with us. And when we return, we'll hear more from Mackenzie and learn more about the tools she uses to help her clients reach their goals. And I want to know more about this restriction and what this does for our body. So stay tuned.
Breakfast in bed.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley, and I hope you listen to my brand new radio show, Get Active, at 12:30 in the afternoon each Tuesday for ideas on how you can stay fit and active and connected to our community. Each week, we'll have a guest who knows in depth about some activity you may be interested in. We'll cover everything from working out, sports, sailing, skiing, to bridge, dancing, volunteering, you name it. Again, it's Get Active at 12:30 in the afternoon each Tuesday, right here at Alternative Talk 1150.
Are you eco-conscious? What about being humane-conscious too? Choosing to live humanely includes buying cruelty-free products, learning where our food comes from, and how animals are treated. On Living Humane, we explore how our choices for humane living are ever-expanding. Join us next week when we'll speak with Lori Kalmbach-Ellers of Coalition Humane about their new Northwest Spain Neuter Center. And we'll speak with our friends from Vegan Score, Seattle area's premier vegan blog. Join us on Living Humane.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Mackenzie, one of our amazing nutritionists at Passionate Nutrition. Mackenzie, before we took the break, we were talking about how this restriction is what we hear so much of in the media. Can you expand on that?
Sure. Yes. We were discussing how the messages we get again and again every day in the magazines, the TV, everything says you want to lose weight, restrict, restrict, restrict. Mm-hmm. Yet our science is showing that is absolutely the worst thing that you can do for your body. It puts it in such a stressful state. And when we're restricting food, we need to get fuel from somewhere. So what we're doing is we're literally breaking down our muscle and breaking down the protein in our body. And you know, when we're breaking down this muscle, it's too bad because the muscle really fuels that metabolism. So now we're in a double whammy. Not only has our metabolism really slowed down, but we're breaking down the most important part of our body that fuels that metabolism.
So what about if someone's going to the gym? You know, it's January, people are starting diets, they're going to the gym, you know, multiple times a week. I mean, what if someone's in that scenario? Are they still going to be breaking down muscle?
If they're going to the gym and restricting?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
And so people are actually getting the opposite of what they're trying to achieve.
Exactly. And that's what can be so confusing. That's why people come in so frustrated. How many of our clients come in frustrated?
Most of them.
They just, you know, they think they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, right, quote unquote. And I just really feel for them because mm-hmm. there's such mixed messages out there. So not only are they restricting and losing muscle, but they're going to work out, they're trying to build that muscle, and now we're in a triple whammy. So, you know, it's really about fueling this metabolism with consistent regular meals mm-hmm. throughout the day to keep that fire going and that fuel to keep that metabolism burning.
So you said earlier about breakfast. So breakfast is the number mm-hmm. one thing that you recommend for clients. So you're also saying so now they need to eat regularly throughout the day. So how often would you recommend for people?
Well, this is going to vary for everyone. And this is where I think what I use the word detective work mm-hmm. all the time with clients, as well as the word experiment, mm-hmm. because all clients are unique. Right. Yet a general rule, I would say we wouldn't want to ever go more than 4 hours without eating. We would want to stick more around the 2 to 3 hours. Always having some sort of snack or meal. And I can't emphasize protein enough. I mean, we've already opened that up in terms of how important that is. And I feel like I say over and over again, protein, 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 and how important this is for the metabolism. Because we're walking blocks of protein. We really are. And if we want to support our metabolism, we would have a protein snack or a protein rich meal to really incorporate these goals.
You know, Mackenzie, it's so true. I find that so many of our clients, because we do have these very educated, progressive clients that are coming in, you know, a lot of times we hear about how Americans really overconsume protein, how we're getting so much in excess. So I think what we tend to see is a lot of times where people go the opposite direction, you know, where they're really underconsuming because they think they're doing a great thing and they have such positive intentions, you know, but it just ends up being the opposite of what their body is actually needing.
Yes, correct. And I would say, you know, everybody's going to be different on how much protein they need. But generally speaking, I mean, we use protein for metabolism. It also helps with energy. It helps with so, so many things. It's the foundation.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bet you have clients. I've heard from clients that work with you that come in and they say, oh, my gosh, Mackenzie told me to change my protein. I'm getting enough protein and I have energy like I've never had. My sugar cravings are down. I mean, it seems like people oftentimes can feel so much better.
So much better. And you asked, you know, what's one of the things that you do to help increase metabolism? And it's eating breakfast and it's definitely protein, starting the day with protein and having this protein throughout the day.
Yeah. So it sounds like protein basically every 2 to 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. As well as, you know, it's this hunger that mm-hmm. really gives us this message that we're speeding up the metabolism, but the energy does as well. When we see changes in our energy, we know we're burning at a higher frequency.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like clients also come in and they'll start to notice that they're warmer, you know, that their hands and their feet are a lot warmer. That can be a good indicator.
Definitely. I'm glad you brought that up. That's
you know,
great.
And those clients that we were talking about earlier that just don't have hunger cues, you know, they've gone so long with just not getting hungry, it seems like it's especially important, like what you were saying, that every 2 to 3 hours. And it's such a leap of faith, kind of like how breakfast is, because they're not going to be hungry at first. You know, it's trying to establish with the body that it's okay to burn it up. So at first it's, you know, people come in and they say, wait, you're telling me to eat again and again and again, and I'm not hungry? It's like, yes, this is what starts to get our metabolism going.
It is a leap of faith. I almost think of it as if you're winding up something that's really heavy. You're putting so much energy into it. You're going, you know, you're pushing through this hump, mm-hmm. and you're just winding it up, and you're just pushing it and pushing it. And then it gets easier because there's mm-hmm. more energy. And then now it's flowing. And so really pushing through those first, you know, couple of days, week, can be difficult for folks. And I think that's where we come in. Mm-hmm. We encourage and really explain the science of what's going on, and that can help the trust. It doesn't feel like such a long leap.
Right. We let them know over and over again that it's not crazy, that yes, we heard you correctly. You want to lose weight, and we are increasing what you're eating and the frequency.
Exactly.
Because the minute they leave and they talk to their friends, they say, what?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I feel like over and over we're helping to really say, okay, let's trust this. Give it this much time and we're going to see a difference.
Yes. And the other thing is because it is such a leap of faith, you and I really like to use the BIA machine, mm-hmm. the bioelectric impedance machine, which we have in all of our locations, that really helps us have these tangible numbers that show the metabolism changing. Mm-hmm. And so we can see how there's a shift in protein or a shift in water. It can really show us the basal metabolic rate as well, which are tangible numbers that folks really like. And that help us, too, to make sure that we are on the right page here.
It's so true what McKinsey brings up because, you know, when there is that nervousness, because it is this big leap of faith, I mean, if we can test and say, okay, look, your metabolism has increased. Look, you're building more muscle and your percentage of body fat has gone down. You know, that helps to give that reassurance that it is working and that it is going to be okay, because it is this really scary step.
It really is. And a lot of our clients are data driven mm-hmm. and they like to see the numbers.
Yes.
And so we can provide that.
Right. Yeah. I'm so glad that we're able to do that. So are there any specific foods that you recommend when you're trying to help somebody increase their metabolism? I know you mentioned about protein. So we've got breakfast, eating every 2 to 3 hours, protein. How about any other foods that you use?
Sure. Well, the next one that comes to my mind is water.
Mm-hmm.
60-70% of our body is made of water. And so that's a huge part of our metabolism. As you mentioned, metabolism is a broad word that describes mm-hmm. all the physiological processes that are occurring in our body. All of these include water, every single one of them. So if we're shorting ourselves water, we're shorting our metabolism.
It's so true. And water is one of those things that can get overlooked.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's easy to do. And, you know, the water is also, it helps with energy as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of us don't realize we're dehydrated or we're irritable, and water really helps with mood.
Absolutely. So, McKinsey, we live in the Pacific Northwest. People tend to feel kind of waterlogged, you know, mm-hmm. in the sense that we're around moisture all the time. You know, it might be raining. And so I think that decreases people's inspiration to have fluids. I mean, are there any tricks or recommendations that you use with clients that you found to be successful?
Sure. Well, of course, it'll depend on the person, learning more about their day and asking them where they think they can get more water in. Most of us are sitting down all day long and we're at a desk. And having some sort of water at our desk can be really, really beneficial because we can see it. You know, it's kind of like the candy jar trick. You know, if mm-hmm. the candy jar is on the desk, we're going to eat most of the candy. Now, if the candy jar is at our neighbor's desk, we might eat a little less. If the candy jar is down the hall, we're going to eat even less. So it's the same with water. If the water is all the way down the hall, we're going to drink less. Now, if we can bring it to our desk, we can see it, we think about it more, we'll have that reminder, can be really beneficial.
That's a really good idea. So have it on the desk where you can see it. Now, what about adding things like flavor? Have you found that to be helpful?
Yes. People are like, water? That is so boring. So cucumber is really nice. A lot of people enjoy cucumber, as well as lemon. Apple cider vinegar. You and I have some apple cider vinegar in our waters today, which acts as a digestive and is very beneficial to our digestion. What else? What do you recommend?
I think those are great. I also like to add things like lime, you know, lemon or lime. But another thing, too, is anytime fruit around my house, if it's starting to go bad, like if I notice, hey, nobody's eating this, like whether it's apples or oranges or grapefruit or whatever it might be, I'll just throw it in a pitcher of water. So anything that's kind of on its last leg. Now, if you put in things like berries, you know, they just have to get crushed, but then the flavors come out into the liquid, too.
Wow, that's a great idea.
But even adding some juice, you know, a lot of our clients, that sweetness goes over well. So getting some 100% pure fruit juice and then adding some of that to the water.
That's a great idea, just to give it a little pop.
Yeah. Or tea. You're a tea connoisseur. Or I always think of you as being one.
Yeah, I mean, tea is a great way to hydrate. Some of the teas act as diuretics, so they might not be as hydrating. But all teas are a great way to fuel this water tank that lives within us and our metabolism.
That's great. And it is true. I mean, water is just a completely overlooked component, but absolutely essential.
It really is. And we talked a little bit about weight loss already. And a lot of folks don't know, who are wanting to lose weight, that it takes a water molecule to break a fat molecule. So it's very essential to have water flowing as much as possible so we can break down this fat, if that's people's goals.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Mackenzie. So it's time for us to take a quick break. So stay tuned. When we return, we'll share some valuable tips on small changes you can make that will quickly boost your metabolism and transform how you look and feel. And please feel free to call in with any questions throughout the show. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear ways that you've boosted your metabolism. And we'll be right back.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Every generation needs a voice, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150, Lewis Howard's show, Head of the House, is the voice for the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Head of the House brings education, insights, and information that brings health and healing to the challenges of managing your home, relationships, and your career. Tune in once and you will be hooked. That's Head of the House every Monday at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. Today I'm here with Mackenzie, one of our fabulous nutritionists at Passionate Nutrition and the recent recipient of the Top Health Coach Award at Microsoft, which is quite an honor. So we're discussing ways to boost your metabolism. And before we return to that topic, We have a caller, James in Tacoma. Thank you so much for calling Passionate Nutrition Radio.
Well, thank you. I am really enjoying your program. I want to ask you two things. One is related to water, and the other is related to increasing the what types of protein. I myself just finished drinking a bottle of Evian mineral water, and here in the Tacoma area, I personally find when I drink tap water and I run quite a bit, I don't feel rejuvenated. But here in the Northwest, down in Olympia, for instance, there's an artesian well in Olympia. There's also one up in Linwood. And I wonder what your nutritional ideas are about the idea of what is the nutrition of tap water versus like artesian water or like an Evian water where maybe there are dissolved minerals in salts. I've never been able to figure it out for myself, but I intuitively feel better when I drink it.
You know, James, this is a great question. And what I love about what you just said is that intuitively you feel better when you drink it. You know, and that is such powerful information because our bodies are not going to steer us wrong. Our mind will every day, but our bodies have a lot of wisdom. And so with that, when you're drinking the artesian water, I mean, actually, that would be my preference. If you live close to an artesian well, that is by far preferred. Because you do get a lot of minerals in there, it's more how water has been throughout history. It seems like it can be more nourishing and actually more hydrating. Sometimes people can be drinking water, and when it doesn't have the minerals in it, it can feel like it's going right through them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think a visual for that is, you know, if we've had plants that get really, really dried out, you know, when we first add water, it just goes right through. And I always think, wait, you're so thirsty. You know, why don't you take it up? But that's the way our bodies can be as well. And so if someone's drinking and, you know, they're feeling like they're having to go to the bathroom a lot and that they're not feeling hydrated in the way we should, they're probably missing some minerals from that water. Yeah.
Well, terrific. And I wonder, you know, do you yourselves know beyond, I don't know if you've ever been to the artesian well in Olympia, but it's very well established, and there's one up in North Linwood. But are you aware of a number or a list or places where there are public artesian wells listed or whatever in the greater Northwest area that people could access?
You know, I don't know of one. And I know that the one in Linwood has a website that you can look on and you can get directions and information, which is nice. But I wonder who did that, because that's a kind service. Oftentimes it's more word of mouth where you find out about them.
Yes, I used to sell real estate in Linwood years ago, and I used to go there purposely. And I just actually finished talking to a guy who was running here in Tacoma about telling him about where the artesian well is in Olympia. And I can only tell anybody who's ever going down to Olympia for the day for fun or just whatever, that water is incredible. And people, I bring down a 10 or 20 gallon like a camper type thing to bring it back. And it's just incredible how good you feel after you drink it. And it is also tested privately to make sure there is no bacterial count. But the difference between that and the tap water in terms of being a runner and an athlete, I mean, I just can't even describe how good you feel after you drink it.
That's wonderful. And, you know, if you don't have that option of going to the artesian well, which, I mean, I would agree is fabulous that we do have that ability, but also getting a good filtration system can be helpful too. And I know in Shoreline, there's a company called Custom Pure. They're called The Water Store, and they have affordable countertop filtration systems as well. And even if we can't do the artesian, if we can't have the filtered water, still, even though it might sound crazy, having even tap water, as long as we're getting hydrated, that's the ultimate goal.
Okay, well, the other question related to, I caught the end of your conversation because I just found you on the station. It's just wonderful for sure. But when it comes to protein, what I try to do is I do take straight whey protein, which I mix either with 1% milk or with water. And when I wake up, I try to eat like 3 or 4 egg whites in an omelet form. But how throughout the day, if you want to say to eat protein 4 or 5 times a day, besides maybe turkey roll-ups, or I don't even know if power bars are good for you, although I do eat them from time to time, can you give me like 5 or 6 suggestions of what you mean by quick protein? And that might even include natural peanut butter, but how can I get it 8 times a day? Because really, I get it really 2 or 3 times a day, morning, you know, late afternoon workout and dinner.
Great question, James. This is Mackenzie here, and I'm just listening to your very strong intuitive wisdom around your body and hear how important running and athleticism is for you. And your question around protein. So I hear whey protein you're doing, as well as eggs. Those are great sources of protein. I also recommend having some high-quality sausage. Sausage is one of the most satisfying things to eat. It has the fat. It also has the protein. Making some over the weekend and having some quick to go in the fridge, quick grab and go. Now, if you don't even want to do that, there's some great brands out there that are already pre-cooked. You don't even need to cook. You just literally open the package and they're fully cooked. You can find them at Trader Joe's. There's a brand called Adele's that's fully pre-cooked, high-quality sausage.
Yes, I've seen that before.
Okay, great.
And you would recommend basically eating like three ounces of that. You know, for instance, it's about 12 noon. I've had my breakfast this morning. Actually, I did actually have a little sausage, and I also had a half buckwheat pancake and a half regular meal, cornmeal type with Bisquick flour, kind of half and half. Sort of a runner's breakfast where you mix the slow carb with the higher carb and then the protein to stick it. Is there also a specific combination? Like if you eat protein, should you eat protein with apples or, you know, like peanut butter? Like I had a nutritionist one time recommended that I try to eat A plus B to try to incorporate them. Is there any suggestions you can make that if I were to have, let's say, all natural peanut butter, which I also do carry with me from time to time, I should also have that with maybe bananas for potassium or vitamin K? Does a combination of the two lead to a better result?
Good question. Protein's going to stand alone. It's going to be just fine on its own. And usually the pairing that nutritionists, and I'm wondering if your nutritionist that you saw, what she or he was recommending is always pairing a carbohydrate with a protein.
Yes, that was what it related to.
Okay, because she or he wanted to regulate your blood sugar levels by grounding some of those carbohydrates, which tend to increase our blood sugar levels. And those that can be grounded, it can lower what's called the glycemic index of the food, so it doesn't enter our bloodstream as quickly. And protein can really do that. Now, when we're focusing just on protein, I wouldn't say that it's important to pair anything with it to add nutritional benefit. It will stand alone.
Okay. And
does that
the serving size that you're recommending is about how many ounces?
Well, it's going to depend if we're in a snack or a meal. Some folks are number folks, and they like to have a certain amount of grams. A quick way to know how much protein you need is divide your weight in half, and that's generally going to give you about a range of how many grams of protein you need. Now, I wouldn't say, depending on your weight, we ever really need to go over 100 grams.
Okay.
So, and then other quick protein ideas, James, Greek yogurt. Greek yogurt is loaded with protein. Is that something that you enjoy?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the last question would relate to, I know this is probably, I'm very into metabolic rate, so this is wonderful to talk to someone like you. But one of the things is also, when is the last time in the evening to take anything for protein or otherwise? I was told by my nutritionist or CrossFit trainer that nothing after 7 o'clock, because the pancreas at that point helps burn with the liver all the old glycogen in your body, and then your body switches to fat-burning mode. But if you eat after that, and then on the other hand, I hear from other people that you should have a little protein at night to assuage sort of through the sleeping cycle. So do you have an opinion on eating after 7 o'clock or protein by itself or not?
James, I'm so glad you brought this up. This is one of the most common questions we get from clients. What time do I need to stop eating? And the question or the answer is, please don't. You know, we follow the science that the metabolism is like a machine. It needs to keep burning and fueling. A high protein snack before bed is one of the best ways to keep that metabolism going. So I highly recommend eating after 7, but really focusing on a high quality protein snack, such as a piece of cheese. Another protein idea might be some tempeh, which is a fermented soybean.
Okay. What about, is hummus, does hummus actually have protein in it? I don't know. I have it.
Hummus is made from a garbanzo bean, and beans are a great source of protein. Highly recommend it. It's not a complete source of protein. We need to combine a legume, which is a a bean, garbanzo bean, with a grain in order to have a complete protein. And what I mean by a complete protein is it contains all the amino acids, which is a fancy word for proteins,
sure,
that our body needs. And complete sources of protein are animal sources as well as quinoa and soy.
Well, the good news is I'm a quinoa fanatic, but I tend to mix it 50-50 with couscous, so like a slow burn and a fast burn. And the other thing, I'd be curious about your thoughts. I don't want to get into health issues, but thankfully I've overcome many with nutrition and a positive attitude and God's spirit, amen. But the reality is, what is your opinion on beets and beet juice? In terms of as a nutritional aspect, I personally use root vegetables 3 times a week to try to regulate my personal cycle and have found it tremendously helpful. But I would be curious if in relationship to root vegetables, beets, carrots, turnips, if you could talk to me about your thoughts on those and incorporating those in your diet and whether they should be raw, roasted, or in the overall benefits per se.
James, that's a great question. So with beets... Beets are a fabulous food, and in fact, for our liver, they're one of the best foods that we could possibly have. And if you think about them from a Chinese medicine standpoint, I mean, they're this deep, deep red color, and that's just an indicator of how much vitality, how much blood building that there is in those beets. So that could be fabulous. Now, with root vegetables in general, any vegetable that's going deep into the earth, it's the soil, actually, that we were talking about earlier, that's what imparts the minerals into that food. So any root vegetable, you're going to be tapping into the earth, getting a lot of minerals in there. And especially this time of year, you know, by eating seasonally, eating local and seasonal foods, which includes having a lot of root vegetables, can really help us to be in touch with the location that we live in. It helps our body to acclimate to where we live. So including those in your diet could be a fabulous thing. And it sounds like you are very in tune with your body and you know that that's working.
Sure. Well, I want to just compliment you both. I mean, I'm just absolutely can't believe how lucky I am I turned to this station. Can you tell me again what your website is and what your offices are if you're up in the, I don't know if you're in the Bellevue, Kirkland, or Seattle area. I'd certainly be interested maybe in following up in the future. And the other thing is, if I could kind of give a little shout out to a positive group I'm in the South Sound related to running for people who are out there. Basically, TacomaRunners.com is an organization that sort of developed on its own on a community base here in the greater Tacoma area. So for people who are looking sort of just to hook up with a huge positive group on Facebook that runs all over the place, and also we run in the evening, so it's large groups of people. It's safe for women to know that they can go out and run and have people, you know, at nighttime who are, you know, we run with 20 to 50 people every Thursday night, and we also have runs on the weekend. So I would encourage people in the South Sound who want to look up and maybe they can't find a person to work out, whatever, to look up that website. Again, it's not a for-profit thing. It actually started on Facebook, but it's just exploding. You'd be amazed what a positive running athletic town Tacoma has become in the last 3 to 5 months. It's almost like I call it Portlandia. You know what I mean?
Right.
It really. And then the nutrition piece has become huge, too. So, you know, it'd be interesting if you guys could get more of your word out. I'll certainly spread the word about your station, because I don't think a lot of people even know that this kind of radio is even on.
Well, thank you so much, James. And to answer your question, our website is passionatenutrition.com, and we do have an office in Tacoma. It's our newest addition. So we have downtown Seattle, Kirkland, Shoreline, Bainbridge, Ballard, and Tacoma.
Great. Where are you in Tacoma?
Tacoma, we're in the Dome District.
Great. Yeah, that's fantastic. We ran last night there. We run every Thursday night for fun, a 5K. So we probably ran right by where you are, but the Dome District is really starting to really emerge, so that's wonderful. So I'll kind of spread the word for people, because obviously, you know, everybody is really looking for holistic health around here, and I think your program has really provided some great ideas.
Well, thank you. And one of the things, too, James, that people often don't know is that typically our services are covered by insurance. We're on all the major insurance panels. And so a lot of times people are very surprised to find that out. So thank you for spreading the word, and thank you for calling in and listening.
Okay. Well, good day, ladies. Again, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Now it's time for us to take a quick break and stay tuned. And when we return, we'll share some more surprising changes that you can make that produce metabolism results.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Wisdom Within is a new talk radio show featuring psychic medium and healer Lindsay Paul and animal intuitive and healer Shauna Fisher. From your lunch break to vacation, from your car to your kitchen, from despair to newfound awareness. Join this enthusiastic duo as they fearlessly tap into the depths of wisdom and help you soar to new heights by answering your ultimate questions. Get your weekly dose of spirituality with a kick of reality rolled into 1 hour. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Get out of your head and tune into your soul.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Mackenzie, one of our Passionate Nutrition nutritionists. And so, Mackenzie, we've been talking about, you know, having breakfast, eating every 2 to 3 hours, making sure there's strong protein. We've talked about water. Now, does it matter how somebody's eating? Does that affect their metabolism?
Oh, my goodness, definitely. And I'm so glad that we're diving into this, because it's not just what we're eating, but it's how we're eating. And sometimes with some folks, we start with just how we're eating before we even get to what, because the how is so, so important. And it will certainly play a role in our metabolism. You know, Jennifer, you mentioned in the very beginning of the show how stress can play a role. You know, whether we're in traffic or we're being chased by that lion, our body doesn't know the difference. And so what we're releasing are stress hormones in that time. Now, when we are eating in a stressful state, those stress hormones can play a detrimental effect on our metabolism. We release stress hormones such as cortisol, glucocorticoids, that dampen the ability, that fire of the metabolism. We also release insulin when we're stressed. And as we both know, insulin plays a major role. It's the number one hormone that plays a role in building fat.
It's so true. I'm so glad you bring this up, because, you know, so often in our culture, we do get very focused where, you know, it's all about the nutrition, you know, even though we do it all the time, because that's, it makes a difference and can help people, you know, in the sense of how much protein, you know, how much of this, how much of that. And at the same time, it's true. Like, even if we could be eating what looks like a perfect diet, but if we're eating while stressed, you know, we just aren't getting the nutrients that we could be.
It's true. We've completely shut down our digestion. There is a stage of digestion called the cephalic phase, which is somewhere between 30 and 40% of our entire digestion process. And this phase, we're preparing to eat our food. We're preparing to digest. So I think a perfect example of this is walking into a home where freshly baked cookies have just been made. Mm. And you can smell that delicious response. Maybe some of you listeners are getting a response right now. You're preparing for that digestion. There's already enzymatic processes going on. There's a physiological response. Hormones are cruising around and getting ready for this meal. And the cephalic stage is responsible for this. So when we don't smell our food, when we aren't paying attention to what it looks like and the colors and how we're visually seeing and expecting around this food and bringing that awareness, we're missing the cephalic phase of digestion. We're missing out on 30, 40% of our whole digestion. So no wonder we're feeling dissatisfied throughout the day.
It's so true. I know I've said before that I would rather somebody eat a burger and fries if they're sitting down and enjoying and tasting and smelling and just having a wonderful experience versus a kale salad that they're eating while they're angry and driving in their car.
I agree 100%. And you said you could be eating the most perfect meal in the world, but maybe not absorbing all of that. And that's what Mark David at Harvard has really shown with his prestigious studies. He's the author of The Slowdown Diet, and he provides evidence around this. He speaks about vitamin T. Vitamin T, vitamin T. And for listeners out there, the T stands for time. Taking in our time, how important this is to our absorption of those nutrients.
It's true. And I know clients come in all the time and we'll ask them about how would you describe your relationship with food? And so often what we hear is that people will say, oh, I love it too much. You know, but if we love something so much, I like this idea that you're sharing, Mackenzie, as far as giving time to it. When we love someone, we love something, we give it time, we give it energy. And so you're saying, let's do that with our food.
Really honor it. Exactly, Jennifer. Really honor how much you love it. There's a saying that if you don't love it, don't eat it. If you love it, savor it.
And you know, the thing about this is when we savor that food, we process it so much better, like you're saying, and specifically our metabolism increases. So we are actually better able to process the food. So when people are thinking, oh my gosh, this ice cream is going to go straight to my thighs, you know, and feeling stressed out and anxious, and that stress and anxiety can reduce, you know, the enzymes, the hormones, everything you're talking about, that they might not metabolize it as well, and it could contribute more to weight gain than if they were savoring it.
Exactly, and that's what Mark David's done so well to show in his studies in the book Slow Down Diet. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anything else that you would share in reference to how we're eating?
Yeah, I think the other important thing I really would like to share today is how important it is, not only this vitamin T, so really taking this time, bringing this awareness. And this is hard in a busy, busy world. You know, this takes some diligence. And it's not going to happen all the time. You know, it's not going to happen for all of us. Even the best nutritionists in the world aren't going to be bringing 100% of their awareness to their meal. That's just not practical. So we just do the best we can. And the other thing is breathing. Bringing oxygen is one of the most important ways, I'd say up there with water, to boost our metabolism. You know, our stomach lining absorbs more oxygen than any other tissue in our body.
Wow.
And so that's how important oxygen is to the stomach lining and the metabolism. I like to think of metabolism as a fire. You know, I've said that a couple of times today. And what do you need to keep a fire going? You need fuel, which we've talked about, protein and other foods, and you need oxygen.
That's such a great point. And I love that visual of the fire.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of clients ask, okay, so I get it. This is great. But what do I do? Because this is one of the
yes.
hardest things we ask our clients to do. And I really recommend that maybe you just start with one meal, or maybe you just start with one snack and just see, just observe, do that detective work. Just observe what it's like to really taste this meal. And oftentimes when we're really tasting it, we're realizing maybe how low quality the food is. That's another advantage. But you know, really, really bringing just an intention to maybe one snack, one meal. And what we recommend is putting your fork down in between bites, just seeing what happens, just observing what it's like. Or using chopsticks is an excellent idea too. Some clients respond really well to feeling what it's like to feel their toes in this moment. Okay, we're looking at our food. We're really trying to bring this awareness. Can we feel our toes? Has a way of really grounding us in that moment, bringing us to that moment and our sensations in our body, as opposed to all these thoughts that are constantly going on in our head.
And I love that what you're saying has such a compassionate feel to it, because it's not like you're saying, okay, everyone listening, every meal, every snack, I want you to slow down, you know, and eat with awareness, because that's not going to be practical for most people. It sounds like you're creating a really sustainable, very realistic goal for people to follow.
Yes. And that's what happens so much in the nutrition world, is everyone thinks they have to do it all at once. And there's this overwhelming, I can't do it. And so we always say one foot in front of the other. Like, right. It's like climbing Everest, mm-hmm. one foot in front of the other. And I love that statement that you use with clients as well. And that's what we help folks do.
Well, Mackenzie, thank you so much for joining me today. And I really appreciate you sharing yourself, your metabolism secrets and tips. It's just a pleasure to spend time with you.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, Jennifer.
And so please join us next week for Passionate Nutrition Radio. We'll be talking about simple and delicious ways to balance your blood sugar, which is an issue a lot of people struggle with. And you'll be amazed to hear how easy and effective our tips are. And our clients can oftentimes report feeling a difference within 2 to 3 days after they implement these changes. And I'm going to have a client that has just dramatically revolutionized her blood sugar on the show next week. So we can't wait to share that with you. So to learn more about Passionate Nutrition, please visit us at PassionateNutrition.com. Thank you and have a great week.
I jump up and down and hope you toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well my vegetables.